Title: Riser Timing for Jungle Drops from Scratch for Pirate Radio Energy Advanced. Alright, let's build a jungle-style riser from scratch in Ableton Live, but with a very specific goal: Pirate Radio Energy. Not just a sweep up and then drop, we're going for that feeling like the system is beating wound tighter and tighter, the signal is being abused, and then it just gets cut loose. This lesson is advanced, because the sound design part is actually the easy bit. The real power is timing, phrase math, perception tricks, and how you pace change so the listener can't relax. First, set the context so our timing choices make sense. Set your tempo somewhere in that jungle and drum and bass zone, like 170 BPM. Now decide where your drop lives. A classic move is a 32-bar intro, and the drop on bar 33. Or if you're doing a shorter lead-in, drop on bar 17 after 16 bars. Now put locators in Ableton, one at the start of the riser, one called pre-drop choke, and put it in the last bar, or maybe the last half bar before the drop, and one locator right on the drop. Here's why we're doing this. Jungle is phrase music. The crowd's body learns 8 and 16 bar blocks, so your riser should respect that language for most of the way, and then you lie to the listener right at the end. That's where the pirate energy is. Now we build the riser sources. Two MIDI tracks. One is riser noise, the other is riser tone. Start with riser noise. Put Waveatable on it, and choose a noise source for oscillator 1. Any noise table is fine. We're not picking a magic one, we're building a system. Set Waveatable's filter to a low pass, like LP24, because we're going to animate brightness over time. Add an auto filter after it, set to high pass, HP12. Start the cutoff around 150 Hz-ish so we're not filling the low end with nonsense. Keep the resonance moderate, around 0.4 to 0.6. That little bump helps the sweep feel like it's speaking. Then add saturator. Drive somewhere like 3 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. This is important. Pirate radio doesn't feel polite. It feels like the signal chain is being pushed. After that, add utility. We're going to automate width, but don't start wide. Start controlled. Think broadcast. Narrow first, then open up later. If you're worried about level spikes, throw on a limiter at the end as a safety, not as a crutch. Safety. Now in the MIDI clip, just draw one long note that lasts the full riser length. 16 bars if you're doing the full lead-in. Next, the riser tone. Put operator on it. Keep it simple. Algorithm A only. Sine wave. We're not making a lead, we're making tension. Now we need the pitch rise. You can do this with clip envelopes using pitch bend, or by automating operator's pitch. A good range is about plus 7 to plus 12 semitones over the full 16 bars. If you go too far, it turns cartoonish, which can be cool, but it changes the vibe. For pirate radio, we want tension, not novelty. Add an auto filter after operator, set to low pass, LP12. Automate the cutoff opening from maybe 400 Hz early on, up to 8 or 12 Khz by the end. Then add overdrive. Set the frequency focus around 2 to 4 Khz, drive maybe 10 to 25%. This is where the tone starts to cut through like a transmitter getting hot. Add reverb after that. Keep the decay in the 2 to 5 second range, high cut around 6 to 10 Khz, and keep the dry slash wet restrained, like 10 to 25%. And make a mental note, we're going to reduce the reverb feeling right before the drop so the downbeat stays clean. Now the core concept. Timing the riser using energy curves, not linear ramps. This is the big mindset shift. Linear automation sounds like a preset. Pirate radio jungle tension feels impatient. It behaves. It escalates. It panics late. So automate filter cutoff on both riser tracks, but do it in stages. Bars 1 through 12 rise slowly. Tease. Make it feel like something's coming, but don't show the whole hand. Then bars 13 through 16, you steepen the curve. In Ableton Arrangement View, use curved automation. Shape it so it accelerates. If your riser sounds like it's changing at a predictable rate the entire time, it will not feel dangerous. Do the same with volume or utility gain. Keep it controlled early. Maybe you're sitting around minus 18 dB early. Then in the last couple bars you push, not necessarily louder than the drop, but louder than the early riser so it feels like it's reaching. And automate stereo width. Here's a crucial teacher note. Width is not just more is better. Width is contrast. Start narrower, like 80 to 100%. Over time, open to 120, 140, even 150 if it still holds up. But near the drop, we're going to snap it back narrower. That snapback is part of the impact. Now let's add the pirate radio character. Motion, band limiting, comish vibes. This is the broadcast engineering mindset. On the riser noise track, at an auto effect rack and name it something like FM sweep rack. Inside it, start with a Q8. Make it band limited. High pass around 300 to 600 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Then add a little resonant bump somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz. That's the radio presence zone. It reads on small speakers and it reads like transmission. Then add phaser flanger, in phaser mode. Keep the rate slow, 0.05 to 0.2 Hz. Amount high-ish, 60 to 90%. Feedback maybe 10 to 25%. This gives you that moving, unstable facey smear without turning into a cheesy swoosh. Now the secret sauce. Corpus. Set it to tube or beam. Keep the dry slash wet subtle, like 10 to 30%. Decay somewhere around 0.3 to 1.2 seconds, and automate the tune slightly upward over time, especially in the second half of the riser. This is where it starts to feel like hardware resonance and weird transmission artifacts, not just white noise. After that, add redux very lightly. Downsample around 1.5 to 3.0. Bit reduction minimal. You're adding signal damage, not turning it into a video game. Timing note. Don't bring this full rack in from the start. Keep bars 1 through 8 cleaner. Then bars 9 through 16. You introduce more of this character. That way bar 9 feels like a milestone, not just more of the same. And that leads into an important pacing strategy. Anchor points every 4 bars. Think of your 16-bar riser like a story, with checkpoints. Around bar 5, do the first noticeable brightness shift. Bar 9, introduce grit or modulation. Bar 13, that's where the panic behaviors begin. Gating, resonant peaks, stereo tricks. Then in the last bar, do one bold move, not 5 moderate ones. Because if you do everything, nothing reads. Now we get to the pre-drop choke. This is where the pirate aggression lives. This is you pulling the rug. Option 1, the classic 1/8-bar air gap. Literally cut the riser audio an eighth note before the drop. The silence is the punch. If you want some atmosphere to carry over, do it intentionally. Send the riser hard to a reverb return in that last eighth note, but high pass the return around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't smear into the kick and snare. And the key is this. The tail should end exactly at the drop, or be ducked so hard at the drop that the transient still feels like a slap. Option 2. Tape stop or pitch dive over the last quarter bar. Group your two riser tracks. On the group, you can automate pitch on the tone track, and also automate utility gain down 2 to 6 dB. Collapse width down to maybe 0 to 50% right before the drop. That mono collapse reads like a transmitter choking. It's instant tension. Option 3. Hard low pass choke. On the riser group, put an auto filter LP24, and in the last eighth to quarter bar, pull the cutoff down from bright, like 10K, to something claustrophobic like 200 to 800 Hz. Resonance up a bit, maybe 0.5 to 0.8. That makes it feel like the whole room got covered in a blanket and then the drop rips it off. Teacher note, the choke is not optional in this style. Contrast is perceived loudness. You want the drop to feel louder without actually needing insane peak level. Now we lock the drop with two small helpers, impact support and tail control. First, create a sub-drop MIDI track. Operator sign again. Make a very short note, like 100 to 250 milliseconds. Use a pitch envelope so it drops an octave quickly. Add saturator with soft clip, so it's consistent, and EQ it with a low pass around 120 Hz so it stays subby and doesn't start sounding like a laser. Trigger it exactly on the drop transient. This is felt more than heard, and it makes the downbeat feel like a floor opening up. Second, reverb tail ducking. If you've got big riser reverb, put a compressor on the reverb return and sidechain it from the kick or even the drum group. Ratio around 4 to 1. Fast attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds. Aim for 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. The vibe stays huge, but the drop stays clean. Now micro-tining. The late push that feels illegal. This is where you win. In the last 2 bars before the drop, add autopan to your riser noise. Set amount to 100%. Set phase to 0 degrees so it acts like a tremolo gate, not a left-right pan. Set the rate to 1/16. Then automate that rate so it speeds up at the end. Bar 15 is 1/16. Then in the last half bar, push it to 1/32. You can even flick to 1/64 for a split second if it doesn't get silly. The point is event density. The tempo didn't change, but the ear hears acceleration. Another advanced trick. Slightly delay one riser layer by 5 to 15 milliseconds using track delay at the bottom of the mixer. This creates urgency and width without turning into chorus soup. Keep it subtle. If it becomes a flam, you went too far. And here's a high-level coaching thought. Your timing grid can be correct while your perception is wrong. If the listener can predict the next change, you're not tense enough. So you're not just automating up. You're deciding when the listener is allowed to get comfortable and when you take that comfort away. Now let's quickly cover the mistakes that will ruin this. If your automation is linear everywhere, it will sound generic. Do slow, slow, fast curves. If your riser has too much low end, it will make the drop feel smaller. High pass early and keep the low energy for the actual bass and the sub drop. If your riser is wide right up to the drop won't expand. Narrow it right at the end. That snap is impact. If your reverb masks the snare at the drop, duck it or high pass it harder. If you introduce all the complexity from bar 1, the listener adapts and you have no contrast. Complexity belongs late. And if you skip the choke moment, your drop is going to feel polite. Even an 8-note gap can double the perceived hit. Now a few pro-level variations if you want darker, heavier D&B energy. Try adding slight dissonance near the end, a second tone voice detuned by about plus 7 cents, and automated in during the last 4 bars only. Make the last bar claustrophobic on purpose. Pull width down, push a little resonance, maybe add light group saturation, then let the drop come back full stereo. And check your riser in mono early. Put utility on your riser group and set width to 0. If the riser loses all urgency, don't fix it by adding stereo tricks. Fix it by designing excitement in the 2 to 5kHz range with controlled saturation and resonance. That's what reads on real systems and cheap speakers alike. If you want a signature pirate detail, add an RF whistle layer. A very quiet sign around 2.5 to 4.5kHz. Add a tiny pitch drift. Band limit it tightly, add subtle saturation. Keep it low. It's a transmitter squeal, not a lead melody. You should miss it when it's muted, not notice it when it's playing. Now let's make this practical. Here's your 15 to 25 minute exercise. Pick a reference with that old school tape pack tension. Build a 16 bar riser, using only wave eatable noise and operator sign, plus auto filter, saturator, utility, reverb and auto pan. You must do 4 things. 1. Nonlinear filter automation, slow then fast. 2. A pre-drop choke. Pick one method. This audio version is shortened for playback.